everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, we continue our series, our exploration into the National Basketball Association with Mike Gallagher from RotoWorld.com. We covered a bunch of topics this week without Drew Dinkmeyer, who assured us that he wanted to be here but could not quite make it. You guys know how busy he is. But, we delved into a lot of the really important topics happening in the NBA right now. So the Houston Rockets swoon, Damian Lillard putting the Portland Trailblazers on his back, Ben Simmons' career game. Of course, we looked at who is going to get the eighth seed in the Western Conference. No one knows who is going to get the eighth seed in the Western Conference. But, I love talking about the NBA. Mike loves talking about the NBA. So I think a very enjoyable show for you guys to listen to. Of course, we are sponsored by DailyRoto.com. You can get 10% off of the best projections in fantasy basketball using the promo code Janis, J-A-N-I-S. You can also support the show by subscribing on patreon.com/takecast. You can get bonus episodes of the show for $5 a month, or just support the show because you like the show. And always, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes or Google Play, and that's very useful and helpful as well. And now, let's get into the show. All right, everyone, looping in Mike Gallagher into our conversation again, our usual Monday show postponed for a day due to all of the games going on Monday for Martin Luther King Day. No Drew Dinkmeyer this week. Again, the man, he just has too much going on. Mike, how was your last week of basketball?
Pretty good. I had a pretty fun Saturday. Yesterday was great. You got to love full day of basketball. 28 teams playing. It was almost too much. The 5 o'clock games are almost all of them are good, except for the Knicks pulling out the Cavs, and even the Bulls played a tight game against the Bucks up until late. And Jim Boylan after the game was so funny. He was basically like doing moral victories and talking about how great his game plan was. It's like, okay, yeah, you still lost by double digits, but go ahead.
Right.
We had a lot of good games. Late games were pretty good, and the game we're going to talk about first is kind of crazy.
What is going on with the Houston Rockets? This is we are now officially concerned about the Houston Rockets. They have one more win than the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder in kind of spectacular fashion. Mm-hmm. A few times over the last month of the season. They have four straight losses, and they are 1-5 over their last six games. What is going on with the Houston Rockets?
Yeah, and the OKC stomped them a couple weeks ago, too, so it looks like they had their number. But, yeah, they had a 17-point lead in the fourth, and they blew it. Lost the fourth quarter by 21 points, 41-20. Harden couldn't buy a bucket, and that's really been the story lately. It's just Harden missing shots all over the place. He was 1-for-17 from three. Tied for the worst three-point percentage among those with 12-plus shots. Just unbelievably bad how much he's missed shots lately. And if you kind of dig in a little bit deeper, it's all like dribble, 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 shoot. Almost half of his shots have been with 7-plus dribbles. He's not efficient on those. Over his last seven games, only 8 of his 166 shots are catch and shoot. He only has one make, so he's 1-of-8 on catch and shoot attempts. He's just missing everything. Harden's actually being outscored by Westbrook over the last seven games, 32-29. Westbrook did miss two of those games for the back-to-back. Just missing shots has been just killer. We know they're going to take a whole bunch, and they just couldn't get him to fall yesterday. And we talk about this all the time, how three-point variance can end you. And if you're in a cold spell like they are now, it's going to be trouble. Like, Ben McMahon hasn't played well. PJ Tucker's missing his corner threes again. And Capella was in foul trouble yesterday. That was kind of costly too. So, they need to figure some things out. And we've said all season, Eric Gordon's been horrible. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. But Westbrook's actually playing better right now. But I think they'll get it figured out. I said that they had a chance to win the title last week, which looks like a terrible
take. I was with you. No, yeah. I was with you. And I still believe that. I still overall believe that this team, they're always good in the buyout market. They will get a minimum of one good rotation player out of the buyout market. I would guarantee that. And that's kind of all they need, right? That's literally just finding like a fourth guy who can like have the ball in his hands and move a little bit, because like Harden, Westbrook, and Capella do all of their scoring and all of their shooting. And then outside of that, I mean, like, it, I guess the person you think it should be would be Eric Gordon, but Eric Gordon is just so not that guy.
Yeah, they have to trade him or something. He's useless right now. I mean, Ben McLemore and Daniel House have both outplayed him. I say this all the time, but Gordon was talking about being like the number one defender. That's not there. His defense has been really bad. And yeah, just not having a backup to Capella has proved costly, because we said this last week too, like playing PJ Tucker 41 minutes like they did yesterday, it's going to burn you.
Said his minutes limit was 30.
Yeah, exactly. So we know he has a 9 usage rate and he doesn't really work for anything on offense. He obviously exerts a lot of energy on defense, but yeah, it's pretty much – we always overreact to losing streaks and then overreact to winning streaks and stuff. So it's kind of where we're at. But I think they'll get it figured out. I still think they're going to be able to pass – they slipped down below Dallas, but I still think they're going to be maybe a four seed or a five seed. Probably five. This is a really bad loss, especially with how Denver and Utah have been playing a lot better lately. It's looking pretty bleak for them to, you know – and they're going to have to go up against the Lakers in round two. It would look like best.
I mean, right now they are the firm six seed by four. Well, I guess the Mavs. So I guess by like two games, but well, except the Mavs are probably going to win the division now. They got to be favorites. They got to be slightly favored to win the division. And that makes them at least a four seed. So yeah, it's all bad for the Rockets right now.
I still think the Rockets are going to beat out Dallas, especially with KP with his injuries right now. And we'll see how Luka's had a little bit of a dip. His efficiency's dropped. His turnovers have gone up. His free throw efficiency's gone down a little bit. And he's just so much – like, he's basically – like we say this all the time. Like, he's basically James Harden for how much of an imprint he puts in on that offense. But, they'll get it figured out. But, obviously, this is the bad losses and the way in which they're losing is just really tough to swallow.
Yeah. It is. It's just – it's very bizarre. Yeah. And that's the thing. He can't make shots.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. And really, just credit to OKC. They put Lugans Dort on him. Matchup time for 8 minutes. That's the most amount of time per game on Harden. He was 3 of 14 against the Dort defense. So he's mad props. First career start after 8 games. They didn't have Terrence Ferguson. And we've seen guys kind of be Harden stoppers at times. So like Torrey Craig is another guy who's like a Harden stopper. So a lot of teams had that kind of in their arsenal. And I think that's kind of where value can be had. But Dort's just a beast. Like, he actually like ran over PJ Tucker yesterday. So it was nice to see him really step up, really out of nowhere. A lot of people didn't even know who he was. But yeah, a little ASU on ASU action. Pretty rare, undrafted guy. But it was nice. It was a great win for OKC, as bad as it was for Houston.
Great win for OKC, who now they have 25 wins, 25-19. Chris Paul is talking about how happy he is to be in is warming up to Oklahoma City, and this leads me to a question that I saw a couple people people like to argue on the internet. I saw a couple people debating this last night, and I want to talk about it too. If you had to pick a point guard moving forward, would you rather have SGA or Ja Morant?
It's pretty close, man.
It's very close.
Yeah, I think I would go just Ja, just closer, just because he's so ball dominant. He's a little bit of a creator. Although SGA's creating has been a little bit better the last couple weeks. But I love SGA, but I just think that what we've seen from both of them, like I could, if you wanted to argue either way, I'm good. But Ja's further ahead than where I thought he'd be, and SGA is kind of where I thought he'd be. So I think that. And they're a year apart. It's like a year and like 20 days or something, where Morant's obviously the younger one. But they're both excellent. So there's really no wrong answer here. I just think that you kind of have more freedom for what Ja Morant can do. And he does have perfect compliments next to him. Like, I think him and Jaren Jackson Jr. are such great compliments to each other. But, yeah, if you put like Shea in a better position, we don't really even know what he's at. Like, if you take Chris Paul off Chris Paul's been healthy. So I'd be curious to see what happens if Chris Paul does miss time and we really see Shea kind of dominate the offense. He's really been kind of and that's what he's been asked to do, is be a score first guy. Get the ball on the wing, get a screen, go to the basket, and Euro step pass dudes. He's just so crafty, whereas Ja is just a freak. So I think it's, again, can't really go with the wrong answer, but I think Ja has a little bit more upside to what he can be.
So I think my answer is SGA, and I agree with you in terms of the upside. My reasoning for SGA is just he's a little bigger, right? Yeah. So Ja is tall enough. He's about 6'2" and a half. SGA is more like 6'5", and he's like a lot bigger. However, I think at like the 90th percentile outcomes, Ja's 90th percentile outcomes are so much better because he can be Ja's like complete ceiling is kind of Curry light in the sense of being just a super dynamic creator on offense, able to shoot, you know, greater than 40% from three on, you know, massive volume. I think that Ja could be the best player on a championship team. SGA probably his ceiling is second best player on a championship team.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Shea is like the perfect complementary player with somebody next to him. Where, like you said, Josh is going to be a beast.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to have the ball in his hand. I actually think, in a weird way, I kind of thought that the Chris Paul SGA backcourt was going to be bad for Shea's development. Mm-hmm, I actually think it's been so good for him to not have to do everything. Because yeah. what you get is you get, you know, what happened to their teammate, Dennis Schroeder, where Schroeder just got kind of had too much responsibility when he became a starting player. And it overall, like, he just played so much bad basketball that it was hard for him to change.
Yep. You got to give credit to Morant, who couldn't shoot, apparently. He's made 41% of his threes so far in his career on a pretty small volume. So we'll see probably people cover him a little bit tighter now. But, they're both excellent answers. But Shea definitely is probably a better defender. But I think you can hide. It's not like Morant's a bad defender either.
Yeah.
Both those guys are just two of my favorite players to watch too.
Yeah, I agree. All right, keeping it rolling here. Zion, he is now no longer being listed as out for these games. He's being listed as doubtful. And they actually just played a crazy game their whole like backup unit yesterday on Martin Luther King Day, which was very frustrating as someone who wanted Jackson Hayes to get in there, and they just smoked Memphis 126-116, and it wasn't even really that close. Don't look now, but the Pelicans, things are looking up.
They've been lurking. They had obviously that really bad stretch with the double digit loss streak, and like we said, we overreact to these losing streaks. But we just saw how good Drew Holiday can be when he's on, man. Career high 7, makes 36 points, just killed Ja Morant. Like, he was open all game, running out in transition. All the things we love about Drew went down. It just looked awesome. They got good peanut butter Melly time was in full force. He had a really good bench run. He started the second half too. So, yeah, Zion coming back. We'll see him. We saw him play some center in the preseason, so we'll see guys like Jackson Hayes go away. Derek Favors obviously needs to come back from his back injury. He has so many back injuries in his career, so I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of dial him back and just let Zion eat into his minutes that way, because they didn't want to have this back thing keep popping up over and over and over again. But
right.
Yeah, we'll see. Redick's shot's going to go down. We'll see Etuan Moore kind of go away. Same with Nikhil Alexander. We'll just see the Pelicans play a lot smaller with Zion out there. But, yeah, I can't wait for that on tomorrow, on Wednesday, against the Spurs. Props to ESPN for flexing it to the national game, too. But, yeah, Brandon Ingram's been great. So,
Brandon Ingram's the Pelicans have to feel so freaking good about the Anthony Davis trade. They are going to be one of the only teams in NBA history to have the, you know, trade a superstar, like trade a dollar for four quarters. And it feels like they are just massive winners in this trade, even though, you know, they might not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they set themselves up for sure. Like, it's really that and the Paul George trade are really, it's like the only ones you could really say that really kind of worked out, I guess. Because, I mean, the Jimmy Butler trade was terrible. I'm talking about the Wolves Jimmy Butler trade, not like the Philly Heat one. which wasn't really a trade anyways, even though it was technically a trade. But there's really been nothing else I feel like that has really worked out. Like, obviously the Kawhi DeRozan trade didn't really work out. I'm trying to think of any other ones that were like superstar based kind of trades. They never really work out.
Yeah, so. They never work. Like, I don't think there's any example of them like working out for the team that traded the star away. But I mean, like, looking at the Pelicans' young core, Brandon Ingram is 22, Lonzo is 22, Jackson Hayes is 19, Josh Hart is 24. Now, he's not a star, but I think he's proven he's an NBA rotation player, right? Like, any doubt that he is an NBA rotation player. Favors is, you know, obviously on, like, by the time they're competitive, he probably will not be on the team anymore. And then they have Zion, and you know, as far as backup centers go, I mean, Jahlil Okafor for $4 million a year, they kept him on the team for the next 4 years. Like, that's a good player to have.
Yeah, he's just an emergency guy. We need him to fill in, but they're not gonna need him anymore, especially with Jackson Hayes pretty much outplaying him. Jackson Hayes, so he almost freaking put one on Brandon Clark yesterday. He almost had like a crazy highlight reel jam. But they have a lot of depth, and they have some things they can maneuver too. They have a good cap situation, picks as well. So they're definitely set up, and I mean, they're knocking on the door, man. They're what, 3.5 out. They're playing well. What did they won, like 10 of their last 12, I want to say, something like that. Not quite that good. Or 10 of them. Anyways, they're playing good ball right now. And they did so without, you know, Drew being hurt. Drew missed 2 weeks. Favors missed a couple games. So, yeah, they're almost pretty much fully healthy now with Zion back and obviously Derek Favors, but Redick's back. So they've had so many injuries all season, but they're dangerous, man. They get San Antonio, Denver, Boston. To close out this week, so we'll really, and they're all home too. So if they go 2-1 there, I think they're in good shape. Then they get Memphis again, Houston, Milwaukee. So they have a really tough part of their schedule right now.
Yeah. So as we continue our tour through the Western Conference, as we seemingly always do, Damian Lillard, he really is he's trying to keep the Portland Trailblazers afloat as they McCollum is hurt. Whiteside left last night's game, though he came back pretty much immediately. But 61 points against the Golden State Warriors, played 45 minutes, 34 points against Oklahoma City in a loss before that, 34 points against Dallas in a loss before that. This has to be close to some of the best basketball he's ever played.
Yeah, he always just comes through. We've always said before, and it's even amazing sometimes they get wins when Dame misses games. Like, it's stunning to me just because they have valuable into the offense. But without CJ McCollum, he obviously scores 5 more points per 36. And, as bad as Golden State has kind of looked, they've played some decent games here and there. Especially Alec Brooks had one of the best games of the season. Eric Paschal's played a lot better. So, credit to them. A team that just has no forward depth right now. That was interesting to see the Trevor Ariza trade. And it was surprising they could even get Kent Bazemore off their books with this, what, $18.5 million deal to save them, what, $12 million in luxury taxes, if I remember. So, we'll see if he could step up. Anthony Simons played pretty well yesterday. Got 46 minutes, didn't shoot well, but he's kind of coming along. Gary Trent Jr. also has kind of been low-key solid for them, had a career-high 30. On Saturday. And Saturday, just a random note I looked up over the weekend, there were so many career highs on Saturday that it just struck me. Marcus Smart had a career high, Gary Trent, Mikal Bridges, Jared Culver, Svi Mykhailiuk, Jordan Poole, and Nick Claxton all had career highs on one night in January. Like, that happens a lot in October, but it was weird to see that many career high games. This is a quick aside, but I don't think we're buying Portland just because of their lack of depth. And I think Trevor Ariza was a good little pickup for them to give them a little bit more length. But like I've kind of always said, I believe more in the Pelicans than the Blazers. This trade puts them in a weird spot, right? Because they could actually make a move now, or they could trade off more players. So they have a really big stretch of games coming up here to see if they're buyers or sellers.
Yeah, I am disappointed with Anfernee Simons. He was a guy that I really thought was going to take, you know, a leap this year. I think I talked about him on the very first podcast that we did this year, and he's really just been okay. He's been like just a pretty nondescript like fourth guard, and I really thought he was going to be more than that.
Yeah, we thought that because Stotts has always tried to find a way to play his three guards together, Dame, CJ, and then, you know, 2-3 years ago it was Napier, last year and the year before it was Seth Curry a little bit. So you thought that Simons could be that guy, but it hasn't really happened, although he has tried it, and he'll probably try it more. But, yeah, obviously with the O'Shea quotes and Stotts saying he was the most talented player he drafted, O'Shea did. In all his years as a front office guy, definitely a little bit of a letdown, but I still believe. Obviously, he had that one insane 48-minute game in the season finale last year. Had I think 36 points in the summer league game as well too. So I'm not ready to rule him out. He was obviously super raw, and he wasn't supposed to be this impactful this stage of his career, anyways. So yeah, I think he's still gonna be all right. But yeah, this. Lack of depth, and Whiteside's hurt a lot. He may miss time with this quad thing, man. He said he was in a lot of pain after the game last night, so losing him would just be killer. And they also have – talk about a tough stretch right here. So starting with Thursday, they go Dallas at home, Indiana at home, Houston at home, at Lakers, Utah at home, at Denver, San Antonio, at Utah, versus Miami, at New Orleans, at Memphis, at New Orleans. So we're gonna find out real soon how good the Blazers are. If they, you know, if they go 0-6 or 0-7 come to the deadline, man, or even like 2-4, like, you know, clearly below 500, like they probably should be looking to sell out, man. That's a brutal stretch right there. Those are all playoff teams except for San Antonio.
What do you think they could get for McCollum, who seems like the one most likely to be?
Yeah, you love talking about McCollum trades, man. I don't know.
Well, it's just like, okay, so like if you look at it logically, no one, like, they're not trading Dame. You literally cannot trade Damian Lillard. No. And I mean, Hassan Whiteside is like, yeah, he likes to get 20 and 10s, but is that like you're also not going to get anything for him? Like, what do you get for Whiteside, a protected second round pick?
Yeah, you won't get anything for him.
Yeah, you could have gotten like any team in the NBA could have signed him for a very cheap deal this offseason, and they chose not to. So in terms of selling, that's it. McCollum is really the only thing they can sell, I think. I mean, do they have any other valuable rotation players? Like, not really.
No, not really, yeah. Pretty much everyone else has been bad. Besides, like, Hazoni's been a disaster. I think Simons is still doing okay, but they obviously got rid of.
I mean, Simons is. I mean, that's actually probably the answer. They probably get more for Simons.
That's their most valuable piece. Yeah,
they get more for Simons. Right. Yeah. I mean,
I was thinking if they were sellers. Like, if they're sellers, they're not going to trade Simons. They're going to hope that he could basically move in and be the new CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I mean, if they sell, they trade CJ McCollum for a young player and a lottery protected first round pick, and that's it.
Yeah,
but just that. I mean, that's so brutal.
Yeah, the CJ McCollum Kevin Love trade is probably like the most ones that kind of makes the most sense for a team that has, you know, just no front court depth right now. But like I said, I think they had a Ariza thing. That's pretty much going to be the key. If somehow they can play better ball with Ariza around, a guy who can play a lot of three, a lot of four, you know, maybe cut back on Carmelo's minutes a little bit. Melo's cooled off a little bit lately too. But I think they're going to wind up being sellers. But I just don't know what they don't have anything to sell. They kind of painted themselves into a corner here with the way they've handled their cap space and how they've just allocated their resources to build their team. They're really cap tight.
So Ben Simmons, best game of his career?
I think, right? So, yeah. At least statistically it was.
Yeah, so he was 35 point triple-double with 5 steals. I mean, pretty incredible.
Yeah, first player ever to go 34, 12, and 12 and 5 steals. Obviously the 5 steals are a big reason why. That's really hard to do, but matches career high, 12, 14 from the field. Just feasting inside, added 2 blocks. So if you played DFS yesterday, just his second half he scored 50 points in FanDuel.
It was awesome. He had 85 on DK. I bet he had 100 on FanDuel.
I think it was like 80 something too. Yeah, because he doesn't get you don't get the triple double points on FD, so it kind of evens out. But so it was just beast mode, and I was surprised to find out that so Ben and Horford without Embiid, they're plus 6.6. With all three, they're plus 3.1 net rating. So they're actually better without Embiid in that lineup. Horford is just a different player, man. Without Embiid and with Ben, he's 18-8-5, 1.3 blocks, 1.2 steals. With Horford and Ben, 7-7-4. So like he's seriously half the player statistically, if not more than or less than half statistically. 0.6 blocks, 0.7 steals too. So pretty much besides the rebounding, everything's cut in half, and assists a little bit. Everything just cuts down, but Horford's been bashed really all season because they're not great when he plays next to Embiid, and this lineup hasn't really worked. But Matisse Thybulle has been huge for them. Obviously not scoring, but his last five games, he has, I believe, 4.2 blocks and steals combined, so to like 5.2 points or something like that. But I call him NASDAQ because of all the stocks. With the steals and blocks.
Pretty
but,
good.
It hasn't caught on, but NASDAQ's definitely putting in that work right now. A guy who's just been – Ben even said back in the preseason, Ben's like, oh, I hate when Thybulle guards me. Cause he's just so – and he makes just every defensive mistake stand out and turns into a turnover. He's just such good basketball IQ on the defensive side of the ball. And they just really limited the Brooklyn perimeter scoring late in the game. Tobias Harris has been really good this year. So they have really – I guess what really they miss with Embiid is the depth because things haven't really worked out with Kyle O'Quinn. I love Norvell Pell, but he hasn't really played well, at least on the statistical side of things. But, they definitely need him back soon. But their starting unit has been tremendous, really, without him, just because Thybulle has been just such a good impact. And Ben's playing, again, better and better. Right now, getting to the line 14 times too, made 10 of them, so that's pretty good for him. But yeah, it was a big win for them. They definitely needed it. A team that has been really, I almost cursed, really bad on the road right now. They play so much better at home. So, they're like we said, they're really the only team we feel comfortable that could knock off the Bucks. I think that's pretty common. And I know Charles Barkley said the same thing yesterday. They just have so much talent with Ben playing the way he is. And getting Embiid healthy is the key.
You know, I still think that the next team we're going to talk about, I think that Boston can beat the Bucks. Is it just the worst opinion I've ever had? I think Boston is good, man. Boston is a good basketball team.
Yeah, they're a good regular, they're a great regular season team, but against Giannis and they credit to Enes Kanter, we bash him a lot. He's played a lot better lately. Daniel Theis has played a lot better, hitting shots. He's interior defense has been a lot better too. They kept a lot of guys in check, really, besides DeAndre Ayton, who didn't shoot the ball great. I think he was like 8 of 22 or something, but he had a big scoring line because of free throws. But I think they're coming along. Obviously, the big win yesterday, but I'm a little bit worried about this Kemba knee thing, by the way. So he went to the locker room or on the bike in the first half, and this left knee soreness thing. He had an MRI. It was okay, but called a doctor that night after a game. Was like, "Hey, my knee hurts. Give me an MRI." And you hate to see that for a guy that's had. So in 2017, he had the arthroscopic surgery at the end of the season when it was over. 2016, another meniscus tear, and then 2015, another meniscus tear. This is all in the same knee. So really, last year was the first season he didn't really have knee issues, and they're back. But this guy usually toughs it out. Again, he pretty much waits to the season to have surgery, which is probably going to happen again. So, got to keep an eye on that. And they need Kemba, man. As great as Marcus Smart's been, he had the career high I mentioned, franchise record 11 threes, which is hilarious because everyone loves to troll Marcus Smart for being such a terrible 3-point shooter. And yet he has the record. I believe it was only Klay Thompson's 24 attempts, and then James Harden has a couple 23s. Those are the only times that someone took more 3-pointers in the game than Marcus Smart did on Saturday. So, he's played great. But and it's kind of cool. So it was weird that Jason Tatum missed a game, Jaylen Brown missed a game, and Kemba missed a game all in a row, and then Marcus Smart started all of them. They kind of filled in from there. So yeah, they have a really good core, and that'll be key. But I'm sure Drew would agree that just not having a really impact player, like to the caliber of Giannis or even Embiid or Ben, could definitely wind up being their undoing. They need Kemba to be healthy, and I'm a little bit scared of that right now.
They need Kemba to be healthy. They need Cantor to just be hot fire in his minutes off the bench. And they need good Marcus Smart 75% of the time. They cannot have 27% from the field Marcus Smart. Yeah. That crushes them.
Yep. But, I mean, no one else is really – besides, like, their starters and then Marcus Smart and I guess Cantor, who's played great yesterday against the Lakers. No one's really – you want to see some guy step up and be that, like, clear number eight guy. We thought it would be Brad Wanamaker. He's really faded. The rookies haven't really done anything. Grant Williams looked like he was going to be that guy. He's not. Semi Ojeleye, besides really guarding Giannis, he doesn't really have anything that they could do to win them series or be an impact player in the series. Not obviously, he's not going to win you anything, but if he can give you good defense on Giannis, he'll have some value there. And then also, Jaylen Brown has cooled off considerably lately. His last seven, he shot 37% from the field, 17 points, 5 boards, 2 dimes. Meanwhile, Jason Tatum, he's been playing awesome lately. So I guess he's really has the highest ceiling besides Kemba. A hot Kemba, which we've seen, especially in fourth quarters. Kemba can win some ball games. But last 5 for Tatum, 26, 7, 3 assists, 1.6 steals, 0.8 blocks, 3.2 threes. So he's really lit it up from 3, 53% from the field, 40% from 3. So Tatum really rising to the occasion would have to happen as well. But, just Kemba has to be a monster. And it's hilarious that Kemba finally beat LeBron. Took him like 29 tries. That was like one of the coolest stats I've ever seen. But, they're healthy now. So we'll see what happens. I'm a little discouraged that they lost on Saturday to Phoenix with Devin Booker going off. I mentioned Ayton. And Mikal Bridges had his career high too. But, yeah, they're definitely in the hunt, but I think that they're – do you would agree that they're clearly behind Philly for who you would pick, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Philly is the – they're the second best team. For me, it's Bucks, it's Philly, then it's the Heat, then it's the Raptors, then it's the Celtics. The Celtics are ahead of the Raptors, but, I mean, again, like the Eastern Conference, dude, it's a good conference.
Yeah, yep. It's definitely the deepest it's been in a while because it used to be like, okay, LeBron, just wait for a couple months and he's in the finals. But, they're a little bit more – I don't know. I still think Milwaukee just looks clearly like the best team, you know. Giannis has really stepped it. And that team's just so well put together that they're going to be a tough out. So, I don't know. I somewhat disagree. But, again, they're deeper than ever. Although the Nets playing – we'll talk about the Nets too. They've been horrible. The Magic have been very good. So, it's really just a 6 deep. Right now,
yeah.
So I would still even say the Pacers aren't even in that. Although they're playing great right now, and they're getting Depot back in a week, but I still have my doubts about Indiana.
Yeah. So
I think I whipped last night.
Yeah. Final thing we're going to talk about today. We are going to be talking about, of course, the Nets and Kyrie Irving. And let me tell you what I think. I think that Kyrie is not having it, man. I think that he is big time regretting this decision to go to a good but not great Brooklyn team. And I think he's already starting to feel that when Durant gets back and healthy, he's going to be the star. And again, Kyrie is going to be in the shadow.
I don't know. I mean, I think he knew what he signed up for. You know that Kevin Durant's one of the best players ever, right? He has to have known that he was going to be the, you know, one.
Do you think that Kyrie really is like thinks about things like that though? Like, I think he just kind of acts.
I don't know. I've kind of done giving up on what Kyrie thinks.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
He acts like he hates being in the spotlight, but he, like, look what you're doing to yourself. Like, why are you going to call out dudes, not mention Joe Harris and all these other guys? And, like, you're asking for it. He has to know better, right? And, like, he joked about the whole flat earth thing being like a joke, but, like, he hates being covered that way. Like, what are you doing? You're asking for this. But anyways, that's a whole other thing. But I don't – like, I know some people were thinking, like, okay, this hamstring thing is kind of bogus. But I don't know. It's definitely weird that – and I always am a little bit skeptical when the injury report comes out and then all of a sudden he's added to it. And that's what happened here. Same thing with the shoulder thing. Like, he played through it for a little bit, and now he missed, you know, 2 months for that. So, yeah, the timing's weird. I don't know. It's amazing. That guy's just such a lightning rod for people to talk about, and it's kind of infuriating for a guy who's really good. But I don't have a whole lot to say about Kyrie, but I'll say Nick Claxton's a baller. He's had a career high in his last two games. I wish they could undo that DeAndre Jordan contract so hard, man. Like, obviously you wanted to add Durant, but Nick Claxton's the real deal. He's made really big impact in their second unit. And even Caris LeVert had one of his best games yesterday too. So, they're probably going to be the 7 seed despite how they're playing terrible right now. Just because, Pistons are the 9th seed and the Magic have somehow been hanging around and playing pretty decent ball since Isaac went down. But, it just kind of is what it is. I can't stand talking about Kyrie just because it's just like he dominates my timeline more than anybody I want to see on there.
I feel like he just never has anything really that interesting to say. He just always wants to complain.
Yeah, always. And yeah, he's just so unlikable just because of that. And he used to be kind of fun, you know? But now,
he's
a sideshow. I hate that.
Like most of us, when we get older, we all get a little bit less fun.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think Jared Allen's played better too. Dinwiddie's kind of cooled off a little bit. But LeVert has to play better. He's fine. He's been horrible since he came back. Again, I mentioned he had a pretty decent game yesterday. Did close. Took the ball away from Dinwiddie a lot late in the game against Philly. But Taurean Prince has been kind of boring. So just hoping Nick Claxton can kind of ball out. And I don't even know what Kyrie's wasn't even really playing that well. His usage rate was down since coming back from the injury. So, yeah, it's just – I just hate talking about off-court Kyrie. It's just such a disaster.
Yeah, it's the worst. All right, man, what are you excited to watch over the next week? And then we'll go ahead and get out of here.
Yeah, so Miami winning without Jimmy Butler yesterday was pretty cool. Maybe I could talk about some other stuff just to quick hit.
Yeah, hit me.
How quick? Maybe some other highlights from yesterday. How about Norman Powell real quick?
Guy looks legit.
He was huge in the fourth quarter. He had 12 straight points. Looked like they were going to lose in Atlanta, but Norm to the rescue. He was big time. Really cutting OG on Anobi's minutes. OG's been really bad for fantasy over the last couple games. I know a lot of people are considering cutting him. I'd probably hold a little bit longer because he was so good to start the season. Again, the Magic have been playing better. Aaron Gordon's been really bad. He hasn't even been worth owning in fantasy. Can't shoot. Not bringing defensive stats like we thought he might. Markel Fultz has played a lot better, though. Fournier is playing great. Fuchs is playing pretty well. So they look like they're pretty good. Devonta Graham's kind of cooled off a little bit lately. Looked like he was in a big game yesterday. He had like 12 points in the first quarter, but only 3 after that. And this team's not – the Hornets were fun. They're not fun anymore. You know, Miles Bridges has been boring. Terry Rozier had a bad game. He's been playing better lately, though. The Cavs are a disaster right now. Colin Sexton and Garland finally had a bad game. They're playing pretty well. Sexton's actually we talked about Sexton a little bit last week too, but Sexton's played pretty well lately. So he's really fun. I thought Mitch Robinson yesterday I don't think he got his first shot or until like midway through the third. It's just crazy how Mitch Robinson has just not made any impact offensively at all. We thought he might. We talked a lot about the 3-point shooting could be coming around. That obviously didn't happen either. But that's pretty much Utah. You mentioned Utah. Utah and Denver. We did talk about Michael Porter Jr. He probably deserves a little bit of talk up.
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr. I played on DK last night, and I was just kind of going through prices, looking at stuff, and I was like, "Oh, Michael Porter Jr. is $6,700 on DraftKings."
Worth it. 2014-4, dude. It's crazy how fast. I think we said this last week. How fast he's kind of become relevant. Obviously, the injuries. And they're banged up too, by the way. So Will Barton, again, injuries with Denver. Malone said after the game he wasn't sure if Barton was going to play. Wasn't on the injury report. Garrett Harris could be back. Mason Plumlee rolled his ankle. Didn't think he was going to return. So they could be pretty thin tomorrow. They're playing somebody good. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. Houston, yeah. At Houston. So – that'll be a Torrey Craig game for sure to put him on Harden a lot. But yeah, Michael Porter Jr., man, he is just so polished offensively already. So he's been really fun to watch. Monte Morris is playing a little bit better. I know a lot of people were upset with him with his bad kind of debut in the starting lineup, but he's been kind of trending up a little bit lately. Good, such a great assist to turnover ratio guy. Minutes are back up too. So, and Malik Beasley, we're gonna see. They have to trade Malik Beasley, right? Like, I don't know what they're going to get for him. But
I mean, this has been the Denver Nuggets situation ever since they traded Carmelo Anthony. They've had too many good rotation players and not enough stars. It's just been what it is.
Even since the whole McDermott for Nurk and Carey Harris trade, that was something that really came about to add to their depth. They've hit on so many draft picks, really, like later draft picks. And even Jeremy Grant's been pretty solid too. So, yeah, this team just has too much. And PJ Dozier, by the way, he's pretty solid for them too. So yeah, they're just so deep. This team's just so well put together. And yeah, Mike Conley's been. I don't know what's up with his deal is, but he's just not ready for 25 minutes per game yet. It feels like. Whereas their starting unit smashed Indiana yesterday. So Utah's legit. And mentioned the Warriors, mentioned Pascal. He's been playing a lot better lately. They want to play him the three at the four. Draymond Green, suddenly sick, wasn't on the injury report. All of a sudden, he's out. So another one that's super shady. They're tanking it up. But they've been fun, man. They had a good game on Saturday that was really entertaining to watch. Steph Curry did a little sideline reporting stuff. It was hilarious. I love Steph Curry. But yeah, he told Eric Paschal after the game doing reporting that him and Jordan Poole were the first Warriors rookies to score 20 plus in a game since Steph and Reggie Williams. It was kind of cool to see him spit that out. But yeah, a lot of good stuff going on here. San Antonio got a good win yesterday. But yeah, Booker's been fun too, so a whole lot of stuff to talk about from yesterday. That was like a quick little recap, I guess. And Bradley Beal playing pretty well. Finally got a win for them. But that rotation's been really weird to track.
It has been. It has been very good. All right, everyone. Mike Gallagher, he's the best in the business. That's why we have him on, because he can sum it all up like that for you. Mike, of course, everyone make sure to check out Mike's stuff over on rotoworld.com. All of the player news, waiver wire, all the seasonal fantasy basketball, all the fantasy basketball news that you need to know. Make sure to check out the projections over on dailyroto.com. And we will be back next week.